There's a city of light where there cometh no night, for the sun never sets in the sky. In the Bible we're told that the streets are pure gold, the cool gentle river runs by. Oh, I'm bound for that city, that's holy white city. Oh yes I am, I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how oft I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Little children will play and our hearts will be gay as we stroll down that city of pure gold. No more dying up there, to bear, and nobody will be feeble anymore. Oh, I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city. Oh yes I am, never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how often I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Oh, I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city. Oh, yes, I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. To pray, I'm bound for that city, oh, that evergreen shore. Oh, I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city.
Oh, yes,
I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough may be the way, no matter how long I stop to pray, I'm bound for that city on that evergreen shore. Little children will play and our hearts will be gay as we stroll down that city of pure gold. There'll be no dying up there, and no burdens to bear, and nobody will be free anymore. I'm bound for that city, God's holy white city. Oh yes I am. God's holy white city. Oh yes I am. I'll never turn back to this world anymore. No matter how rough that city, all that evergreen shore.
And let's run quickly to the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm preaching this morning on a very simple thought. I hope you will love it. The King is coming. The King is coming. I don't know anything I can say that is more absolute than the King is coming. I was praying earlier this morning, and it seemed like to me the Spirit of the Lord said that the greatest ignorance in the church world of America is ignorance of the book of Revelation. Ignorance of the book of Revelation. There is so little knowledge of the book of Revelation until it is actually scary. It is scary. And if you teach and preach the old truth of the book of Revelation, there has been so much light theology, so much secondary theology, so much misinterpretation theology that people tend to look at you and listen to you with skepticism. There's just a lot of doubt about the real truth of the book of Revelation. Revelation is a revelation. The name of the book, the Revelation. It's a revelation. A preacher who doesn't know how to get on his face and stay there for some hours, who doesn't know how to get before God, and as the song said we sung earlier, wait before God, he will never know the revelations of the revelation. The revelations of the revelation. It is a book of revelation. It is full of revelation. You don't learn them in a theological seminary with a doubting professor. You learn them when the Holy Ghost is your teacher. When you get before God and you stay there. And amazing to me how this book just comes alive. Here I have been studying this book since I pastored Black Mountain. I left there in 68. And I'd been in the book of Revelation at least 2 years at that time. That would have been 66. Just studying and loving this incredible book. And from that moment, the book has got richer and richer. And Brother Marlon, I never get through with finding revelations in the book of Revelation. I never get through of finding something I'd never seen before. I really don't. It's just that magnificent to live in this book. So we're reading this morning. I'll try to do quickly and let you be seated. Sorry to keep you up too long. Revelation 4 and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. A trumpet talking with me. Which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Father, may the word of God make its impact upon our hearts this morning. May we look beyond the natural and see the supernatural. May we look beyond the book of Revelation and see the revelations. Father, for it is the revelations in the revelation that is transforming of our lives. And may we have that kind of experience this morning. Father, hide this servant in your hands that I be not heard, but only the words of God be heard today. And Father, somebody here that needs to make a rededication of themselves, or they need to give themselves to you. And I pray this morning that that will occur, Father, that your sweet Holy Ghost will do a work that's transforming to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. And you may be seated. The book of Revelation. The revelations of the revelation. I like that. Are you getting that? The revelations with an S of the revelation in the singular. So the book of Revelation is filled with revelations. They are not revelations that just simply meet the eye immediately. But as all revelations are, they are mysteries, biblical mysteries. And we understand what the word mysteries means, church, in the biblical sense. It means that which is cannot, that which is not and cannot be understood but by revelation. The Bible is full of them. The Bible full of things. You can read them till you turn blue. But until the Holy Ghost is allowed to speak, until the Holy Ghost can take hold of your mind, you only have the surface. You only have the simple words. Oh, but that God will help us this morning to see there are revelations in this book of Revelation that are just mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. You've got to ignore so much of the Bible if you don't take this book literal like it is meant to be taken. But then, when you take something literal that is given to you in a symbolic fashion, then you study the Bible and let the Bible interpret the symbolic matter. You don't do it in your own imagination. You go to the Bible. See, every revelation in the Bible has mysteries connected, and it is other revelations that make the one you're studying to be understood. Are you getting what I'm saying? This will change your life. If you begin to study the Bible with a sense of God giving you the understanding, God making the revelation coming alive to you, the Bible will begin to come alive to you. Now, to start with, I want to talk about four words in the first two verses. Four words. The first word, actually words, is a door opened in heaven. The next is a trumpet voice, or a voice sounding like a trumpet. The third are words, come up hither. And the fourth is the word in the verse, in second verse, that says immediately. Immediately. Now, those four terms are really breathtaking. And they mean more to me this morning from study this week and seeking God for understanding than they've ever meant to me before. They literally have come alive in my heart. Come alive in my heart. And I pray that I can make them even so alive in your heart. Now, listen, the king is coming. You've got to understand, if the Bible is the Bible, if the Bible is the word of God, the king is coming. If you understand any interpretation of the Bible, it's got to be very soon. There's no way to study the Bible and take it literal and not know we are that generation that shall not pass away till the king has come. We are that generation. I'm not sure it started right with me. It may have started 10 years after me. And so I might be gone 10 years when it happens. I want to believe that my generation is that generation and I will see the Lord. I thought that would be true of Sister Chambers, but it wasn't. She's gone. She's with the Lord. But let me tell you that this is the generation. It may be an earlier one like I represent. It may be a middle one like Brother Marlon represents. It may be a later one like Brother Dylan or Brother Joe represents. But we're living. in the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. Do you understand that? Does that make sense, brother? That makes sense, ladies? Makes sense, Brother Danny? You know, one of these generations represented here this morning, even the starting with mine. You see, I don't even get to go to funerals anymore that the people aren't younger than I am. I'm tired of going to funerals and everybody's younger than I am. It's just, that's where we are. That's where I am, I should say. Well, okay, I'm leaving all that with God. I'm happy. I'm satisfied. He'll have his way. That's all that counts. But the king's coming. I said the king's coming. Now, these four terms. Number one, this is so beautiful to me. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Well, it took hold of me this week. When I began to study that term, a door was opened in heaven, and I began to search through the Bible for every time that God said in his word in Revelation that a door was opened to heaven. And can I tell you that there was never a time before this time? Never. There's nowhere in the Bible talks about windows being opened in heaven. I believe that was mentioned last Sunday night. But we're talking about a door open in heaven. I even called Brother Ken. Said, Ken, get on your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If anybody can find something different from this, don't stop me to tell me. But when the church service is over, you tell me. Because I want to correct myself. But I don't think there's any question. This is a picture of a door opened in heaven, which is in itself a grand revelation of something that has never occurred to this time. A grand revelation of something that's never happened, never took place. God has never opened a door between here and there. You know of any? This is it. All you some of the chambers, this can't mean the rapture. Well, you tell me what it does mean then. If you're so smart that you don't think it means the rapture, then let me hear you. I'll even let you stand up and tell me right now. Oh no, friend, it's never happened before. So something is fixing to occur that humankind has never seen before. A door opened in heaven. Oh, that is breathtaking. It overwhelmed me. It moves my heart. Because I'm telling you, we are standing on the threshold of the door opened in heaven. Now, we're not talking about a 3068, okay? Or a 2868. We're even not even talking about a 4068 or a 407 or 408. There's some big doors around, but you're not talking about that kind of a door. You're talking about a door that literally turns this earth and heaven into being connected in such a manner that there is a three flow between the two forces. And the two places. So we're talking about a door that's going to change the whole situation of the world in which we live. We're talking about a door that's going to set this world on its hunches. We're talking about a door that's going to change the whole thinking of humankind. We're talking about a door that's going to scare people to death that's not ready to pass through that door. Because when this door is open, the saints are out of here. When this door is open, God reaches down with his mighty Holy Ghost. And he gets every vessel, every individual, every person, whether they're in the grave or walking the streets of their city. He's going to reach and get them. And that door is going to be opened for a multitude to move out of here. Would you raise your hand and ask God to help us understand now? We're talking about a door opened between heaven and earth. We're talking about the second heavens passing away. That's what the Bible says will happen when Jesus comes. Was the second heavens are going to vanish. And that is the place where the door shall be wide open. Hallelujah. And there'll be no hindrance for the saints to leave here. They'll be gone, gone, gone. Hallelujah. A door opened in heaven. Oh, there have been windows open. But this is a door. And this is a door so broad and so wide that everybody ready can get through. Hallelujah. You won't be standing in line to get through the door. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You won't be standing in line to get through the door. It'll be wide open. Hallelujah. And if you're in Europe, are you in Germany? Are you in South America? Are you in Russia? And you're right with God, and you're full of the Spirit of God, and your vessel is clean and ready. Hallelujah. When that door opens, you're gone, friend. Hallelujah. Get out of the way. I can hardly wait. It's a ransom of a hurricane of hell. So, a door opened in heaven. But then, he hears a voice. And this voice is a talking voice. And it's the voice of a trumpet that has a message in it. Have you ever heard of a trumpet that spoke words? Well, we're talking about a heavenly trumpet and heavenly words, and they blend together. Hallelujah. So there is a sounding of a trumpet. Now think about it. Is there anywhere in the Bible that God has ever blown a trumpet? Listen now. Anybody remember a scripture that tells us that God suddenly startled the world by blowing a trumpet? With a message in it. This is the first. Are you listening to me? This is the first. God blows a trumpet. It's actually the Christ, probably, or the Holy Spirit, or the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know how God's going to do it, but suddenly a voice that sounds, and it's a trumpet. Now listen to me. This trumpet is a different kind of a trumpet. Because it is being blown with doors wide open between the earth and heaven. It is being blown with an absolute open way between here and there. And so when this trumpet blows, the world is going to hear it. It don't matter if you live in China. It doesn't matter where you live. This trumpet is going to be so loud. It'll wake up the dead. It'll wake up the sleeping. It'll wake up the sick and unconscious. It'll wake up men and women all over this globe. And people argue with me about it. But I don't believe there'll be one sinner that don't hear this trumpet blow. You're talking about startling the beer parlor. It's when that beer drinker is sitting there with a glass of beer in front of him, and suddenly this trumpet sounds and the glass just shatters. And the beer spills all over his lap. Because the sounding of this trumpet is unique. It's never been done like this before. And it's going to be a startling moment. And you look at all that follows and you understand this is a trumpet that wakes up the dead. This is a trumpet that shakes the wicked to the core. This is a trumpet that scares you to death if you're not aware and listening. I'm going to tell you something, church. You better start listening for this trumpet because it's about to sound. I tell you what, hallelujah, you got to understand this trumpet is about to sound, and if you're not ready to go, it's going to scare you to death. Woo! Can you imagine? You've heard the gospel over and over and over. You've sat in church and the word's been preached. The word has been sounded. You've watched your pastor with a burden on his heart and with tears on his cheeks, weeping and sobbing for your soul, weeping for you to quit messing around and quit treating church like it's an optional matter and quit acting so careless about your lifestyle and quit being so absent about the things of God. When that trumpet sounds, friend, it's going to shake this world. Woo! It's amazing to me. The trump of God. The trump of God. We've heard of the trump of men, but this is the trump of God. Are you talking to me? Are you listening to me? This is the trump of God. This is not some priest blowing a trumpet. This is not somebody who's making music. Oh, this is the trump of the Heavenly Father saying, I've had enough of this sick world. Ooh, somebody raise your hand and help me now. Dumb preachers, where you been, Joe Chambers? Why have you not seen this before, Joe Chambers? Because it wasn't time for me to see it. But it is now. We're sitting on the edge, friend. It's fixing to happen. I said it's fixing to happen. And so the door is opened in heaven. I mean, the world is brought to attention. And then the trumpet sounds. And then the trumpet talks. Come up hither. Now study your Bible. Study your Bible. You find what God's ever done that before. For God's ever said to any generation, come up hither. Now he says that again over in Revelation as he moves along in his revelations. But according to what we studied yesterday, there's no place in the Bible where God ever said, come up hither. He took Enoch, but he didn't tell him to come up hither. He just took him home with him. He took Elijah, but he didn't tell him to come up hither. He just sent a whirlwind. And Brother Marlon, we love to talk about this one. I hadn't got him straight yet, but I'm working on it. You know. But he sends and gets Elijah. Oh, what a day that was. But didn't say come up hither. But now the world is listening. Now the door in heaven has been opened. And now the expanse between heaven and earth has become an open porta. You talk about building a wall against Mexico. The world would like to build a wall against what I'm preaching this morning, but they don't have a Chinaman's chance. Hallelujah. You can no more deny the pre-tribulation rapture. You've got to be ignorant or backslid to deny the pre-tribulation rapture. Either ignorant or backslid. And there's a lot of ignorant folks in the church. And there's a lot of backslid folks in the church. But I'm telling you, when that door is open to heaven and that trumpet sounds, there's going to be a voice loud and clear and ringing a bell all over this globe. Come up hither! I don't know about you, but I'm going to be gone, Brother Steve. I'm going to be gone. If you want to go, when you hear those sounds, I'll stand up and praise him a moment. Hallelujah. Come up hither. Come up hither. Are you hearing me? Come up hither. One time. Never said before. Never heard before. Are you getting the message, brother? Never heard before. But it's time. And I'm telling you, those words have already been heard, Brother Charles. I'm telling you, the Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Son, the Heavenly Spirit, I don't know whether they've rehearsed them together or separately, but I'm telling you, it's time to go. Well, I feel it way down inside of here. Anybody feel it but me? You feel it, Brother Danny? You feel it? Hallelujah. You know what? I'd like to leave from here this morning. I'm so hungry. I took flowers to the graveyard yesterday for Mama. And I squalled all the way home. You said, Brother Chambers, quit telling us about it. Well, who do you want me to tell? I can't help it. I just can't stand to miss her. You see, I married her when I was a teenager. A young, strapping teenager. Dumb as dumb could be. And our life was together 60-some years. Man, it's miserable. It's miserable. And I don't have enough of you to cook something and bring it to me. I've just been going hungry. I'm kidding you. You don't have to worry about that. I'll find something. But I want to teach you something, friend. He's fixing to say, come up hither. You may be seated. And we're going to go. I'm telling you, he's not going to be making a sound with his voice just to startle somebody. He's not going to be just trying to get people's attention. It's going to be too late for the wicked to miss the tribulation period when this voice is sounded. There won't be no repentant. Won't be nobody running to the church and saying, I missed it, but I'm going to get ready and go right quick. You'll either go when those words are sounded or you ain't going. You'll either leave here as soon as those words come up hither or heard or you won't go. What does the next verse say? Somebody say that word. Say it out loud. How long does that mean? How long is it between immediate and immediately? No time at all. Snap of the finger. I mean, you hear that sound, Sister Dixie, come up hither, and just immediately it happens. Now notice something. It didn't say he went on his own. It says he was in the Spirit. Immediately he was in the Spirit. You see, this is just plain old Bible revelation. This is just plain old Bible truth. No preacher deserves an ounce of credit for saying anything I'm saying here this morning. This is just the Bible. Hallelujah. When those doors open in heaven, that trumpet sounds and the words come up hither, I heard immediately. It's go or not go. And I'm going. Done made up my mind. I ain't staying no longer than immediately. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Immediately. It's time to go. Now, church, these are simple truths that are right there in Revelation 4 and 1 and 2. And there's no way to doubt them. There's no way to explain them away. They're just plain. They're just plain. Immediately. Now, listen. Let's go to the person of the Holy Spirit. You can't resurrect yourself. You know what? There's going to be a crowd of folks just like old Samson. They're going to shake themselves and would that the Spirit had not departed from them. There's going to be a world of that all over the church world. I know them. There's so many of them. I love them. I care about them. They used to be on fire. They used to be so full of the Holy Ghost. It just was beautiful to be around them. It was a joy to talk with them. It was a joy to discuss the things of the Lord. And now you get with them and all they do is doubt. A man said to me some time ago who has a big name in the churches of North Carolina. And he said to me, I don't remember the last time I heard a sermon on the rapture. Didn't know till later. Apparently he doesn't believe in the rapture no more. The church world is leaving it. They're building a wall. And if you don't be careful, they'll help you build your wall against the rapture and against the pre-trib return of Jesus Christ. You better get your head straight. You better get your thoughts around these things I'm preaching to you this morning. You need to write them on your mind and write them on your heart. And when you hear a preacher try to preach things that are not in this Bible, you need to get out of there. Somebody says, I go to church and I just go and pick out the good and don't pay no attention to the bad. I ain't going to no church like that. If I've got to pick out the bad to ignore sitting in the house of God, I'll find me somewhere else to go. And there's a lot of people that need to do that. I can't believe how many people will linger and stay around churches where these truths have fallen in the cracks. How do you do it? I don't understand it. He said, Brother Chambers, you're so straight-laced, I can't take it any longer. Well, I don't have anything to do but say, I got to preach the truth. We're on the verge of His coming. We're fixing to be out of here. Hallelujah. Heaven is about to open its door. I love the thought of heaven opening its door. You know, just like I do, praying is not always easy. You pray and pray, and sometimes you'll pray 2 or 3 hours and feel like you wasted the whole time. And the doors of heaven are not open wide this morning. The doors of heaven got some cracks that we can get through, but you got to have faith and you got to be determined and you got to stay there and wait upon the Lord until He hears your voice. But now we're looking at the day when the doors of heaven are open. Now, I want to go a little further before I bring this to a conclusion. When that rapture takes place, I am convinced the doors of heaven wide open all over this globe. People who've missed it, people who've ignored it, people who've been too busy making money and too busy in the world. All of a sudden, you're talking about a mob getting saved. My Bible says in Revelation 7 that there will be a multitude that will come up out of the tribulation. They are people that get right with God because they missed it. They missed it. I'm telling you, if you're careless this morning and I can't move you to get ready to go in the rapture, when that rapture takes place, you better not get careless then. And you better remember what Brother Chambers said to you. You better find you a place and pray. The door will be open in heaven and you can get through in prayer and you can get right with God after that rapture. Or it won't be easy and you'll have to be willing to die as a martyr for the King of Kings, and you will live in a situation that will be hell on this earth, and there's nothing about it but hell on this earth. But you will be able, if you have not sinned against the Lord, until He's left. There'll be some folks that played with it so long until the Spirit's left them. Those people, He's not coming back. When the rapture takes place, they're going to have a heart that's sealed with coldness. They're going to have a heart that's locked up in its unbelief. They're going to have a heart that may even be believing what these new modernist religious people are saying. You know, they're saying mid-trib or post-trib. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're going to go in that rapture, you're going to be pre-trib. Because that's where the crowd of God's saints are going. Now, if you want to be part of that next crowd, that's up to you. But I'm telling you, it'll be with great cost. It'll be with great burden. So it's time to get ready to go. Now, I want to close by taking you to the words of Jesus in Luke 21. And I want to read you some words that really are alarming and overwhelming. And I pray that they can get through to your heart. The book of Luke 21. The book of Luke 21. Let's go, if we might, to verse 23. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath, God's wrath, upon the people. They shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. This is the Jews. And Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot. Jerusalem trodden underfoot of the Gentiles. Now move to 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexities. The sea and the waves roaring. Now verse 31. So likewise ye, when you see all these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And then he says, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Now you got to hear me. And take heed to yourselves. Listen, are you listening? Somebody say it with me. And take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Overcharged with surfeiting. And drunkenness. And the cares of this life. And so that this day come upon you unawares. But as a snare shall it come on all them. Somebody says, and I get this call every once in a while, where the tribulation period. They say that's only going to affect the Middle East, right? I said, well, that only comes from Dake's Bible that I've ever heard of, and it's as false as it can be. And so a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of what? The whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Watch. Now this is what I'm bringing you to grasp as I finish. Watch you therefore and pray always. I wonder how many of you, I'm not going to ask you to raise a hand, I'd be embarrassed. How many of you have prayed through this week? You got on your knees somewhere and you prayed till the Holy Ghost fell on you, and you just were so moved by the Spirit. I came up here Friday night, and Brother Danny Lawless was here at the altar. Well, he just got up from the altar. He'd been praying. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what the Holy Ghost said to me as I walked in this church Friday night? If you could get this whole crowd coming at least one time a week and getting on their knees and praying in this altar for an hour or two or three, this church would be turned upside down. That's what gripped my heart as I thanked God for finding Brother Lawless here in the sanctuary. I want to tell you something, church. These altars is a place where God ministers His presence. And if ever there's been a call to pray always, it's right now. Watch you therefore and pray always. What did He say? That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. I got to say that at least three times. That you might be accounted worthy. It's not going to be me who decides that. It's going to be the great Jehovah God that decides that. that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. You're not going to escape these things because you're religious. You're not going to escape these things because you have a little light devotion. This is for the people who are sold out. Could you use those words with me, sold out? How many of you this morning, could you help me at the conclusion of this sermon, who will say, I want to be sold out. I want to be sold out. Think about it now. I want to be sold out. No question, brother. And of course, hallelujah. I got to go, church. I got to go, saints. I got to go, saints. I got to go when that trumpet sounds. I cannot stay here. I don't want nothing to do with this world after that rapture sounds. It's in the hands of God and all of his business. But I want to go. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy. How devoted are you to God this morning? I love every one of you. I don't know one of you that isn't special to me. You're precious people. You're faithful people. You're some of the most faithful tithers any church could have. You've got a lot of good in you. But I want to ask you one question, and only you can answer it. Are you ready to be so sold out that everything else is secondary but going when that trumpet sounds? Everybody in this building, think about it. Think about it. Are you willing to make a new devotion of yourself this morning? Are you willing to say, Brother Chambers, I've been careless in so many things, but no longer. I've got to go. Any moment now, that door in heaven is going to roll open. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about heaven suddenly just opening up. You say, Brother Chambers, what will be the first thing I hear? A trumpet. And then angels singing. Oh, I don't know what all you're going to hear after the doors open in heaven. But it's going to be beautiful music. It's going to be an exciting moment. Do you want to go when it comes? If you do, would you stand up? Brother Chambers loves you. Brother Chambers is as faithful as I know how to be. If you'll tell me somewhere I'm unfaithful, I'll do something about it. I promise you that. Watch my life just watch it with the closest of your scrutiny. Show me if there's a careless moment in me. Show me if you're seeing something about me that don't look right or sound right. I promise you I'll do something about it. I'm determined. I'm getting ready to go. Hallelujah. Nothing else is important to me this morning but to help you get ready, and let's go together. I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to leave a one of you. I want to take you with me, Sister Latasha. I want to take these boys with me. I want to take you with me, Sister Yvette. Those boys. I want to take you with me, Sister Dixie. And that Savannah. And the rest of them. I want you to go. I want us to go. I want us to go together. And it's going to happen imminently. See, you can say the word imminent. That means any moment. Nobody's going to tell you in advance. It's just going to happen. Woo! Now raise your hand with me, would you? And ask the Holy Ghost to have his way. Father, by the Holy Ghost. Father, by the Holy Ghost. Father, by the Holy Ghost. Breathe for us. Hallelujah. I want my music this morning, Brother Joe and Sister Angel. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody help me pray. Somebody help me pray. Hallelujah. I want somebody this morning who will say, I've been careless, but no longer. There won't be another careless day in my life. Not another careless day. How about it, boys? Are you tired of being careless? Are you tired of being busy with things that have no meaning? Things that have no value? Things that will be gone and over in a split second? Are you? Are you ready? Are you ready to be totally his? If you are, raise a hand now. I'm ready. And I want you to meet me on this altar. If you're unsaved, we're going to pray with you. If you need a deeper walk with God, you've got to make the commitment. And I promise you, when you make the commitment, God will take care of the rest. God will not leave you helpless. God will not leave you without help. He'll come in all of his beauty. He'll come in all of his power. Now I want you to lift your hands and I want you to pray. I preach with all I've got, and I know I preach what the Holy Ghost showed me. I love it when he gives me revelations. I love it when the revelation is so simple that anybody can understand it. It's nothing hard to understand about it. It really isn't. Just a simple revelation. Now I want you to pray. Brethren, I want you to lead us. Pray out loud, brethren, and lead this place in prayer, singing while we pray. Hallelujah.
The King is coming. The King.
I was hoping we'd hear that.
I just heard
that trumpet sound. Oh, I wish I had a trumpet.
I'll
shuckle that from raise your hands and give yourself. I will be faithful. I will not be idle. I will not be careless. I will not allow myself to get all caught up in this crazy world. Hallelujah.
Preachers,
hurry. Oh, he's coming.
Hallelujah. I just heard
the trumpet sounding.
Hallelujah. And now his face I see.
Woo! Raise your hand and give yourself to him. I'm surrendering everything, Lord. I'm putting all of me on the altar to God. Hallelujah. No carelessness no longer. Not a day. I'm going to be busy for God. Singing hallelujah.
The King is coming.
Brother Danny, he's coming. Hallelujah.
The trumpet sounding.
Hallelujah. Gotta give it up.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. Then things change and you're down in the valley. But don't lose faith. You're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, you know that he'll make them right. And the God of the good times God in the bad time. God of the day is still God in the night. Talk of faith when you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in the valleys of those trials and temptations, well, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain.